The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Okay, so the NFL owners have done what they think is the right thing, I guess. They're expanding replay for interference calls. This is a win, of course, for the New Orleans Saints, who have been campaigning for this. The rest of the NFL probably siding with New Orleans because they could see New Orleans in their future, potentially losing out on a chance to go to the Super Bowl on a blown call. Look, there's two sides of to every story, right? There's two sides to every argument, but I think the NFL owners did the right thing here. I know we are reluctant at times to embrace technology when it comes to sports. I can tell you over and over again how they've got computers now that can give you a ball and a strike to every single batter, the proper strike zone, and frame it and give you the accurate call 90%, 99% of the time. And I think we'd be reluctant to give Major League Baseball, for example, over to the robots. We don't exactly want everything to be reviewed. We don't want the game to be bogged down by review. But man, oh man, are we quick to yell and scream when a call is so egregious and there is a way to fix it. And in this case, the owners saw a way to fix this. And they did the right thing by expanding this. Now, exactly what's on the table here. Offensive and defensive interferences can now be reviewed. Coaches can also challenge non-calls that were made of the interference matter. But this is only for 1 year. So don't get your hopes up, Mitt, that this is now permanent. We'll see if it works out well. They realize it's working. They don't get bogged down and there's some other negatives that go on with this. Then the owners will vote to ratify it and make it permanent. This is a 1 year test to see if indeed it'll be good. But overall, and make no mistake about this, this is a win for the Saints. The Saints did what they had to do here. They were robbed of a game they felt was theirs, a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and their only recourse was to take this issue to the public to see if the owners would be listening to the chatter. And they did listen to the chatter. But coming up, what they didn't approve yesterday, and more about this new way of using technology. I'm sure there are owners that are nervous about where this is going, but we'll talk about all that coming up next. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, it's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio, so we can get kickstarted on a Wednesday.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so the owners did the right thing. They expanded replay for the interference call. So this is a win for the Saints, as I mentioned earlier. Sean Payton, they championed this. When you are a quote-unquote victim, I don't like using that word, but it's really the only way I could describe it, of an egregious call like the Saints, you can't really do anything. I mean, we talked about this during Super Bowl week. They weren't going to replay the game. They weren't going to send the teams back to the Superdome, right? The lawsuit against the NFL was a dumb thing. But what you do is you draw attention to it in the most outrageous way possible that you can. You keep it in the news, you keep it in the headlines, and you get people buzzing, and you get people talking. And again, fans are sympathetic. It wasn't just New Orleans fans, right, that wanted this. This is not something that the Saints fans wanted because they had a call against them. Every fan base could see themselves in the Saints fans. Every fan base could see that could happen to me eventually. That could happen to my team eventually. And I don't want that. So I'd like to see replay used. But as I said earlier, we are a little reluctant at times to embrace technology. If I told you that this was going to go down, but games were going to get bogged down a little bit longer, getting the call right sometimes takes a back seat to the overall entertainment of the game, right? We don't want these football games to be drawn out by video replay on every little thing. We don't want the slippery slope here. I think the owners are worried that eventually everything is going to be, by replay. And that's a dangerous place to go because it will bog down the game and you won't have a 3-hour game that's going to be compacted for television. This is where the owners got to be careful here. This could be a slippery slope. The Saints were robbed of a Super Bowl because pass interference was not a reviewable thing. So the official that made the call, that's the law. That's what happened. That's the way the game is going to go down. And now the Sean Payton can throw in a challenge flag to review that. If it's in the final 2 minutes, it could still be reviewed, right? So, but here's the problem. What if the Saints had gotten robbed by a defensive holding call, right? That wasn't called or something along those lines, right? Do the owners have to then capitulate to the fan base and say, well, we'll do instant replay for that too, I guess, all of you screaming, right? And the owners also, as I said earlier, the fans see themselves in the Saints fans. The owners see themselves as the Saints ownership, right? They see him as Gail Benson. They see it in the same way, right? They know that deep down, this is something they don't want their team to suffer if they were on the way to a championship. But again, I still think it's the right thing to do. I don't think it doesn't have to be slippery slope. I think these are very important calls that you've got to get right. And expanding replay for it is the correct way to go. We'll see. It's only for a year and we'll see how it goes. All right. So you know what they didn't approve though? The 4th and 15 onside kick thing that I liked so much. Now, let me make this point. I am absolutely adamant about this. I think the onside kick is stupid. I think the onside kick doesn't work, and I'd like to see the 4th and 15 at the 35-yard line plan that the Denver Broncos put out implemented. But I understand the side argument. Now, Twitter is not a real good place to go sometimes when you want to, see how the wind is blowing in terms of people's opinions, because as many people that are there's more people that are off Twitter than on Twitter. And sometimes people on Twitter, they can get a little crazy, but I was kind of going through my feed the other day and I saw somebody, I didn't recognize the name, but somebody had reported that the owners didn't approve of this 4th and 15 onside kick rule. And that was good because this rule was stupid and that this was a dumb gimmicky thing that the league should have never embraced in the first place or even voted on in the first place. And I thought, wow, that's really harsh for something that's kind of innovative and kind of neat and actually would give teams a chance to get an onside kick, to get, quote unquote, get an onside kick, to get the ball back when they desperately need it. But then I was going through the responses to that tweet and I was trying to find the counter argument to this because I'm heavy into this, right? I hate the onside kick. I think if your team needs one, you might as well pack it up. You ain't getting it. Teams are much better at recovering onside kicks. They've got a hands team for that. Teams are terrible at kicking the onside kick. I mean, listen, we all could probably remember a time where our team needed the kicker to execute it perfectly, only to have the kicker not execute it perfectly. So as many times as you practice this, and they always say, well, we practice this every week. Yeah, well, it doesn't show because you pop the ball up to the center of the line and a guy caught it on the fly, right? I mean, it's awful. I mean, onside kicks are atrocious. Nobody does them right and they're awful. But I found the counter argument. And the counter argument goes like this. If you are trailing by multiple touchdowns or multiple scores, let's say, you shouldn't have a chance to convert a 15-yard fourth down in order to keep possession of the ball. 15-yard pass plays, you can do that. That's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's much easier than trying to recover an onside kick, especially if you are a passing offense, if you're really good at that and you've got really talented wide receivers. The onside kick is supposed to be hard because you desperately needed to get back in the game. You failed to stay in until the final 2 minutes of the game. That's the counter argument. That makes some sense. I could buy that. They said, listen, if you want to try to get back from two scores down in under, a minute and a half, well, yeah, converting one of the most impossible things to do in the league is going to have to be on your agenda. And too bad. But I still hate the onside kick. I don't think there's drama to it. I don't think there's excitement in the setup, but if you've been around and watched this league a long time, deep down it's not going to work. Right? Deep down they're rarely converted. I like the 4th-and-15 option. Because a 15-yard pass, yes, is easier than an onside kick, but it's not the easiest thing to do.
It's not a gimme.
Right? It's not a gimme. Maybe easier than an onside kick, but it's still a challenge.
I just wanted to see it. Say, you know what? Hey, we're not going to approve it for this year in the NFL, but let's do it in the preseason. Just kind of test the waters.
Yeah, let's see if the fans like it.
I just want to see I don't know. I mean, it's exciting that's really the exciting thing about the AAF right now is when they do that.
Right.
It's like, all right.
I wouldn't put it at the 35, though.
No.
I would give you a little penalty if you didn't convert it. Because here's why the 35, it bothers me a little bit. Because if you get a touchdown, let's say before the first half, okay, and there's like 30 seconds on the clock, you might try a Hail Mary or some sort of flea flicker type of play to run down the clock a little bit. Because the other team is going to have to kick a 52-yard field goal if you fail to convert that. Now, I don't know what the rule is. If you advance the ball 11 yards, does the team take over at that point? I would think they wouldn't, right? Because this is not an offensive series. This is a play. You better convert you can spot the ball after if you complete a 20-yard pass, spot the ball at that point. But if you complete a pass for 12 yards and he comes up, a yard short, 2 yards short, the other team doesn't get the ball there. They get the ball at the 35 because you're not doing an offensive series. So they got to kick a 52, 53-yard field goal. You might see more of that at the end of the first. Give the team that is trying the onside kick a little danger. Like, we better convert this or else they get the ball in pretty decent territory. I don't like the 35. Well, I know people will say, well, that's about where the onside kick would be recovered from. I get it. But, give the team take a little bit of the danger out of it. Take a little bit of the weigh the scale, if you will. If it's easier to do this than an onside kick, punish the failure a little more than an onside kick. That's where I'm going with it. I may have gone a little, around and around and around, but I got it. So I wish they had put that together. Maybe it's just too radical at this moment, and the ownership is like, we're not going too crazy with this. But nevertheless, the right thing by expanding replay for the interference call is the right thing for the league to do. All right, 800 coming up, 800-777-2907. All right, coming up next, there's a rumor going around about the Cardinals, the Giants, Josh Rosen, and Kyler Murray, and I'll unpack it all coming up on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
A good Wednesday to you, a day away from the resumption of the NCAA tournament. You can now earn O Rewards points online and at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Earn points any way you shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll receive a $5 reward for every 150 points you earn. Visit orewards.com and become an O'Reilly O Rewards member today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Pro Football Talk's got a report. Giants exploring a trade for Josh Rosen. How serious is this? Well, the Cardinals, you know, aren't actively shopping Rosen just yet, keeping themselves in check for the NFL draft. But I got a question here. If Kyler Murray is everything people are saying about him, and you're a Cardinals fan, would you be upset if they didn't take Kyler Murray and stuck with Josh Rosen? If everybody who's coming out of these, you know, watching him play, watching him do some stuff, talking to him, coming away saying, my God, that kid's going to be great. That kid's going to be great. That kid's going to be great. If you're a Cardinals fan and they stuck with Josh Rosen because they already got their quarterback, they already picked him, they already did their due diligence a year ago, they got their franchise QB, the kid from UCLA, would you be upset if they didn't take Kyler Murray? Because you can take Kyler Murray. There's only one team. There's only one fan base that can guarantee themselves Kyler Murray if they want him, and that's Arizona. That's it. If Arizona wants Kyler Murray, they could have him. Nobody else. So if you are a fan of the Arizona Cardinals and everything coming out of the scouts is, this kid's actually going to be really, really good. The sky's the limit with this kid. He's a game changer. Wouldn't you be ticked off if they didn't? You got a new coach. The coach likes him. Can build an offense around him. Now, there's nothing about Josh Rosen not to like. He's a rookie. He didn't play particularly well, but you know, rookies really aren't supposed to do so anyway. And he had a lousy football team. Let's not forget that. He had a lousy football team that's got a lot of issues. All right? But if Kyler Murray is outstanding, he's the guy you're supposed to take, regardless of whether or not you get a quarterback. I always hate the draft when people, I always have to have this conversation with people about the draft. Is it best player on the board or need, right? And people always say, well, you know, it's best player on the board. You know, it's got best. Okay, that's great. Okay, and I can buy that in a sense. But it's also need, right? It's also need too. Like, let's say through injury or problems or whatever it is, let's say the Tennessee Titans had the number one pick in the draft. They're not going to take Kyler Murray. They have their quarterback. They like Marcus Mariota. They're not going to take Kyler Murray, right? Let's say this, you know, the same scenario can be put on the board for anybody else that is picking first through whatever circumstances occurred. Right, if the Atlanta Falcons had the first pick because Matt Ryan was injured for 14 games and they just bombed, they aren't going to take Kyler Murray. So don't tell me best player on the board, right? Tell usually it's need. The best player on the board actually is probably Nick Bosa, but nevertheless, you know what I'm talking about, right? I want my team going into the draft, right, to make the best pick for that team. Not to load up in a position because the best player on the board may add another piece to the depth chart in a certain position we're good at. If you need a running back, get a running back. If you need a wide receiver, get a wide receiver. Trade accordingly. If you like a guy and you think you can get him 12th, pick down. Trade down and get him there. If you like a guy and you think he'll be around to the 20th pick, trade your pick or take somebody else or trade to get into the 20th pick using your other picks later on. Whatever it is. But the idea that the Arizona Cardinals already have a quarterback, well, they might not. They might not. And their new coach is saying, all right, now, if I'm Arizona, I don't show my hand here, right? I don't show my hand. I keep Rosen. I keep people guessing. I see what else is out there. If this is true and the Giants are exploring an option for Josh Rosen, this brings up a scenario that we talked about last week or 2 weeks ago with Eli Manning and the commitment that they're making to him in this upcoming season. When they bring in the quarterback, whoever that person is, do they want Eli Manning's legacy to end on eventually you're going to get benched? For this guy. Because if they trade for Josh Rosen, it does Rosen no good to sit behind a lame duck quarterback. If the Giants trade for Rosen, They need to play him and play him as quickly as possible. He's going to go into his sophomore season in the NFL after a year of starting for Arizona. If the Giants want to make this trade, they can't just have Rosen hanging around waiting for the inevitable, waiting for Eli Manning to close out a stellar career. The Giants have got to play him. When? Well, I would play him immediately because the future is going to be with him, so the future may as well start now. That's paraphrasing a Harry Met Sally line, remember? When Harry said, when you realize who you want to be with the rest of your life, you want the rest of the life to start right now. It's not because it's New Year's Eve. It's not because I'm lonely, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Same thing here. If this is their guy, if the Giants are going to trade for Josh Rosen, then the future starts right now. You can have Josh Rosen, the 10th pick in last year's draft, holding a clipboard for Eli Manning until Eli Manning's done playing football. Until Eli Manning decides he's finished. Like, if you're the Giants, you can't do that. You may want to do that. It may be the proper way to close out Eli Manning's career, but you can't do that. Now, if you get a rookie, if you get Dwayne Haskins, okay, I can understand. Let him ease into the job. Let him, you know, learn a little bit. Eli will play. Eventually, the rookie starts. Okay? Don't want to throw him out too early. But we're not talking about that. If this report is true, they're going after a, albeit a young, NFL veteran in Josh Rosen, who started last season. So this is going to be an interesting dilemma for the Giants, if indeed this is true, and if indeed they land this. If indeed they land Josh Rosen in a trade. Because that means Eli Manning is going to come to a moment where his career is going to end in New York by being benched for Rosen at some point during the season. That means Eli better be playing on top of the world and better be more competitive than they originally thought. Because you can't just have Josh Rosen sit around for 1 year doing nothing while Eli Manning finishes out his season. It's not going to work. So, again, it's just a basic report coming out. I still think Murray goes to Arizona number one. And people ask me that a lot. They say, what do you think is going number one with the draft in our town? They say, well, and I go, I think it's Kyler Murray. I really do. I think it's Kyler Murray.
That's Murray. I mean, but it is kind of funny because last year we knew for a fact when Cleveland was drafted that they were going to take a quarterback.
Right. And I didn't know it was Baker Mayfield.
No one did. That was the fun part.
I thought it was
going to
be Sam Darnold.
That was the fun part of last year's draft, was hearing all the gasps. Yep. Like,
I know, right?
What? Baker? Which proved out to be, I think, the better choice.
Yeah.
For them, anyways. But no, I'm with you on this. I mean, if you feel that your biggest need is quarterback, then go quarterback. But I mean, you know, like you said, I mean, if you're the Titans, if you're the Falcons, you know, say the Jets had an off year and they finished number one. They're not going after a quarterback. They right. found their quarterback last year, so they're going to go best available or whatever need they have. Maybe it's offensive lineman.
I have no problems. If my team needs something and gets it in the draft, even if it's not best player available, I'm okay with that. If the best player available is something we're already good at, then I don't want that. I don't need exactly. that player. I need. Like, if I need offensive line, get me the best offensive lineman, even if the best player available is a running back and I don't need a running back.
I look at it this way. I mean, Bill Belichick, I think, is a master at drafting talent.
I do, too.
And I don't think he's ever gone, let's just grab the best available player.
Yeah.
I think he's always gone, you know, what need do we have? You know, let's look at the big list. Okay, you know, we need a linebacker. Who's the best linebacker available right now? And that's how he does it. And I think that's how it should be done. I don't think you should grab like who the best athlete is.
Yeah. I mean, it always goes back. There's no real consistency, right? I mean, there's some teams that do it both, you know, one way, or some teams do it the other. It depends on the franchise, it depends on where it's going. But again, I mean, Arizona could use a lot of help in a lot of different places, but with the number one pick, if this kid is going to be a game changer, then you take Kyler Murray. I mean, if that's the way it's going to be, then take Kyler Murray. Especially, and this is the other thing too, especially if your head coach, the guy you hire, is really high on him,
exactly.
behind closed doors. Is click Cliff Kingsbury is playing this very, very well, publicly saying all the right things about Rosen. But behind closed doors where nobody can hear him, he's telling ownership, look, I love this kid. If you give me this kid, if you can get me this kid, I think we can do some amazing things here.
Yeah,
I really would like to chance
this kid and lost out.
Yeah, I love it. I would love to be able to get my hands on this guy and coach him. And if they listen to him, okay. If they say, all right, that's what we're going to do. You know, that's what
almost in a way too. I don't know. I mean, you know, ownership is very finicky, but it feels like almost in a way too that if Kingsbury is allowed to draft Kyler Murray, if they do draft Kyler Murray, it's almost job security for him. Like, you know, give me some time to develop him.
Yeah,
in absolutely. A way, instead of hey, you had a, you know, it was a one and done year for you because you didn't show up.
That's what I would be worried about too. Because I mean, Steve Wilkes got 1 year, 1 year. Kingsbury could buy himself some time. You're right. If the idea is I'm going to develop Kyler Murray, you make the number one overall pick. You're going to give me a year or two to develop him, and that buys him a little bit more time. I think it buys him any more time anyway. They would be fools if they fire a coach after year one for the second straight year. That means nobody wants to play there. SB Nation AM. It's SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Getting ready for day two, round three of the NCAA tournament coming up tomorrow. Oh, I'm so excited. I did really well with my my Sweet 16 bracket. I'm kind of seeing how well I could do down the road. I don't usually do well at this, but I'm gonna win my household pool. I'm gonna choose the dinner location for the first time in a while.
You haven't picked out yet?
I'm thinking about a few, but since I pay for it anyway, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. I might go to the cheapest place.
Well, what you should do is, you know, make your wife use her card.
That's a good one. I could do that.
That way it feels like
I want. Exactly. Her make her feel like she's paying for it.
I used my wife's card the other day, and I was like, "How do you keep your card so new?"
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
I look at my mine is. You know, there are times I feel like it's just barely hanging on.
Mine looks like mine. You can barely read the numbers.
Exactly.
My gosh. I'm gonna probably have to get a new one soon anyway. You can barely read the numbers.
I don't get it. Blew my mind when I used her card the other day. I'm like, wow, this is looks like you'd never.
Looks it sharp, yeah.
And I know you use it.
No kidding.
Not like it's not been touched.
No kidding. I felt like I had a card. A buddy of mine had a card. It was like a new American Express card that had weight to it.
Yes, I've seen those.
It felt like a brick. This is amazing.
Speaking of cards, Apple is coming out with a credit card.
No way.
Yes.
They're ruling the world. Are they not? They're going to own everything.
This card is going to be made of titanium.
So that's sweet.
You know it's going to be weighted, but they're not going to have any numbers on it.
Oh, that's a good
really
idea.
Okay, so how? No identification at all is really going to be on it. You could use it like a credit card.
I'm nervous about that.
But see, everything's supposed to be tied to your, if you have an iPhone, you have a wallet on your iPhone.
Okay.
You should be able to pay that way, just using your wallet.
Okay, the reason that makes me nervous is, have you ever gone to some place and the magnetic reader doesn't work?
Yes.
So then they just enter the number.
I've gone to a couple places.
It's not on you, it's on them. Their magnetic reader doesn't work. So you're like, well, what's the number on this thing? I don't know where to, you're like, oh, hold on 1 second.
I learned something the other day, a couple of weeks ago, and I never knew this because I thought, you know, the chip reader was flawless, right? And I went to go get gas, and I put my thing, went inside, you know, just to get a soft drink and put my card in there. And, you know, just throw some money on it. You know how you do that? Just pay, you know, just say, just add this much to the tank because I just want to get home. And the chip reader wasn't working. I was like, no, I know I have money. It just kept coming up declined. Then I went to another gas station. The same thing happened. Finally, I was like, well, I got to go to a bank because I need gas. And I went to the bank, no problems. And so I had asked the guy, I'm like, what's going on? He says, well, you know, they don't clean their chip readers.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, it can get dirty. And I was like, well, I went to two different places. How is that? I mean, I just had dumb luck. So now I'm just in the habit of always. I'm always in the habit now of wiping the chip reader, just to make sure. Like,
just to wipe down.
Make sure, because I hate being at the checkout with a line full of people and it coming up declined.
All right, this next story, FBSschedules.com reporting that Clemson and Oklahoma are reaching an agreement on a future home-and-home series. Now, this is cool because this is the way this works in college football is that, you know, these schools have to make it – they have to look in advance. They have to look ahead of time, and they have to say, all right, when – you know, we'd like to play you. And you go, okay, great. And they're like, well, do you have an opening? They're like, well, we have an opening in, like, 2 years. We could do something there. Maybe 3 years we could do something like that. And they go, okay, great. So you go like, oh, cool, in 2023, we'll have this really cool series with Clemson. That's really awesome. The fan base will get excited. Well, apparently both Clemson and Oklahoma have made their schedules way in advance because the game for Oklahoma-Clemson is not scheduled for until 2035. That's when they've made this deal. For 2035 and 2036.
Come on.
So 16 years from now, Oklahoma and Clemson will play football. Now, we're going to put this in perspective a little bit here, okay? The players that will be playing in this game are roughly 2 years old. The seniors that will likely play in this game are currently in kindergarten. So if I'm Dabo and Lincoln Riley, I'll start recruiting now for the big game against Oklahoma. Like, start going to kindergarten classes and find out who's the bigger kid that maybe can run fast and start telling him, would you like to play against Clemson someday, little man? And he goes, yeah, sure would. And then you go, tell your daddy that you're going to Oklahoma. And because in 20 years, we're going to be playing them in Memorial Stadium, and I need you. So here's the other twist
to
this.
Why is it so far away?
I know. That's what ticks me off. I hope this is again, a report, but so it hasn't been confirmed by either school, but I hope that there's something about this that makes it go, no. We didn't say 2035. We said 2025, something like that. But here's the other thing that bothers me. Get this. My man, Trevor Lawrence, okay? It is possible, Ron, that Trevor Lawrence could be retired from the league by then after a 15-year career, 14-year, 15-year career in the NFL by the time this game is played. 2021 is when he's coming out. This game is 2035, 2036. So 14, 15 years of in the NFL, he could be retired by the time Clemson and Oklahoma start this home-and-home series against each other.
I mean, I love the idea. These two schools, they don't have their schedule all planned out by 2035, right?
No, I don't think they do. Maybe they've got some things penciled in, but the idea, again, this is 16 years from now?
Yeah.
They know where they're going to be doing these non-conference games. I doubt it.
They don't have 16 seasons worth of non-conference
games.
No. I mean, they probably have stuff penciled in. But come on, dude. You think you can't fit Clemson in, say, like 3-4 years from now?
Yeah.
And exactly. Say, you know what? Sorry, Ball State. We're going to bump you.
According to the report, the home team will play the visiting team $1 million for each contest. The penalty for breaching the contract is $2 million. This is silly. What do you mean you got to pay? Like, okay, so this is a home and home series. So here's the deal. I give you a check for $1 million. You can just return that check next year in 365 days, 64 days, just return the check. I mean, what is this? I'll give you $1 million, then you give me $1 million the next year. The penalty for why would you breach the contract if you have a game against Oklahoma and Clemson? What if these two teams are terrible?
No, that's the other thing. I mean, how many schools in 16 years? I mean, we could have a Notre Dame situation going on, where Notre Dame was at the top of the league. You know, even in the late 80s, they were in the top of the league, but through most of the 90s, they weren't that great.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's prestige and honor with having Notre Dame, you know, be on your television, but it wasn't a great football team. And we've seen it so many times. I mean, you know, there were times when Troy Aikman was playing with the UCLA. UCLA was a great team. Then if you set this up or 16 years from now, UCLA is a terrible team. Then they've gone through like 4 or 5 coaches, like almost per season.
Man, the idea of scheduling something 16 years away.
Oh, that's crazy. You brought that up. I'm all excited, right? Yeah. What a tease.
Man, it's just, I don't know. It's such a good, this happens a lot too. Like you get really excited for a series and you realize, oh my God, that's 7 years away. Why are they doing announcing a series 7 years from now?
Well, see, I would get 7 years. 7 years makes sense to me. I'd like, all right, you know what? You've lined up a couple of good non-conference opponents. You can't get out of the contract. But 16 years, you're telling me? I mean, that's terrible.
How old's your youngest?
My youngest is 2.5. So
all right, so he can go to Oklahoma or Clemson and be a freshman.
Yes.
And watch this game.
He could be playing in this game.
His freshman year. He could be a participant or a spectator at either one of these schools.
He's got a good arm. He's the same thing we're talking about. He could be a running quarterback. He could be the next Johnny Manziel playing for Oklahoma or Clemson. I don't know.
Oh, let's not go too crazy, Dad. Let's not go too nuts. You know, a little humble bragging is, you know, we'll see. But no, in all seriousness, I mean, imagine your kid. Like, you don't want to think about your kid going to college at 2 years old.
No, I don't really want to think about my 11-year-old going to college.
I know. I got a 17-year-old. Kind of, I don't want to think about going to college. He's going to college in a year and a half. He's taking college classes next year in his senior year of high school. Like, I was like, oh
like,
my God.
Down, man.
Seriously, he told me yesterday, he goes, oh, by the way, I'm taking a college class. Next year I'm going to be commuting to this college to take these college classes my senior year. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah. I go, how did I not get in the loop on that? I was like, when did you know this? He goes, oh, I've known that for a long time. I go, wait a minute. I was supposed to be in the loop on that. But no, seriously. Again, I mean, that you get these, this is a good series, and now we got to wait 16 years for them to play. Now, they've met a few times in the bowl games, but God, we have no idea what they're going to be like in 16 years.
It would be a good series now. I would even say it's a good series 3 to 4 years from now.
Yeah, today it's good.
I don't think either one is going to drop off that drastically, but 16 years from now, chances of Lincoln Riley and Dabo being coaches are slim to none.
Slim to none. Dabo's ready to jump in the Alabama train as soon as that opens up.
Exactly.
Maybe. And I can tell you right now, Lincoln Riley may love college football, but that NFL is going to be too enticing for him to go to. He always feels like to me, look, and I get it, you can make more money on the college campus, right, with all the deals and endorsements you can get. But the reality of it is, if you're Lincoln Riley and you're a coach, especially a young coach, you can lock yourself in the NFL, in the college football game, but eventually you might be the kind of coach that goes, I got to be challenged. I've got to see if I can make it to the next level. For Steve Spurrier, it was too much. He had to go to the NFL. He had to give it a try. He had to go see. You know, Nick Saban had been in the NFL as an assistant. He was part of the Belichick team in Cleveland, so he kind of knew the league a little bit. But he left LSU and went to go to the Dolphins, right? Got to go try that. Got to go see what that's like. And I see Lincoln Riley of the same mold. You can be at Oklahoma forever. They'll build a statue for you. But you usually do that when you come to the realization that that's where you want to be. He's a very young man, and I can see him in a couple of years going, I think it's best for me to try the NFL to see if I can make it work, to see if that is a place that I'd like to go. And so again, I see him around the same way. But man, these schools, it must be daunting though to put these kind of schedules that far in advance together, to sort of have these kind of commitments where if you're Oklahoma, you're probably getting asked all the time if people want to do something with you, right? Because now the College Football Playoff Committee, they're asking you to play tough teams. They don't penalize you as much if you lose to tough teams. So if you're Oklahoma, Clemson for that matter, Alabama for that matter, some of these schools, your phone's probably ringing off the hook with people that want to schedule a series with you. So yeah, probably after a while, you're like, well, I can fit you in 2035. And the other team goes, sounds good to me, you know, because there's no other way we can do it. So that's crazy. All right, 800-777-2907 on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so you were saying that you looked ahead at Oklahoma's future schedule. All right, what'd you find?
I looked ahead at Oklahoma's and Clemson's.
Okay.
And what I'm finding with Oklahoma is that they're usually scheduling around 3 non-conference opponents per year. Right?
Right.
And the first one to pop up in 2022, they only have 2 scheduled right now.
Okay, so they only have 2?
They only have 2, so they're more than likely going to be looking for a third opponent.
Okay.
Now, on the flip side, Clemson usually schedules about 4 opponents per year. But
one of those is South Carolina.
Yeah, one is South Carolina year in, year out. But in 2022, I mean, which one of these do you think they could drop? Their non-conference schedule is Furman.
Right.
Louisiana Tech, and then Notre Dame and South Carolina.
Oh, well, okay.
See, but here's the bigger one that when I first saw it, 2023. Would you like to venture and guess how many non-conference opponents Oklahoma has on the books right now?
0.
0.
Okay, so does Clemson have any in 2023 that they could make this happen sooner?
Yes.
Well, then let's get it done then, guys. Yeah.
In 2023.
What am I missing?
There's their non-conference schedule in 2023. Wofford, Florida Atlantic, and they're not going to get rid of Notre Dame or South Carolina. So, I mean, just drop Wofford. They're playing Wofford again. They're playing Wofford this season, this coming season. And then they're playing Wofford again in 2027.
All right, what if the theory behind the Clemson scheduling is, look, we're not going to have 3 tough non-conference games?
Well, that's obvious.
Right? The only way we're dropping, if we have Wofford and, like, Louisiana Tech, we have to drop Notre Dame. And that's too expensive. So we'd rather not pay out the cost of the series with Notre Dame to get Oklahoma.
Okay, well, then
we don't want to drop Wofford, because if we drop Wofford, that gives us Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Louisiana Tech, and South Carolina as the non-conference slate. We're not that crazy.
God, they're playing Notre Dame 3 times between 2020 and 2023.
Wow, that is amazing. Usually that's like 2 and out. Get me out of there. Yeah. See, in Oklahoma, their big rivalry game is Oklahoma State, and that's in conference, so that gets scheduled anyway.
Or Texas, and that's in conference.
Well, yeah, I mean, So that's in conference anyway, but so you got to get 4 – and you got to do 2 and 2. You got to put 2 good non-conference games that are good.
Come on, Clemson.
Clemson should make this happen, because I really would love to see it. I really would. Maybe we'll see it in the college football playoff. SB Nation AM.